Welcome to the podcast. I'm designer Dave Say.
I am photographer Sid Caesar.
And it's a beautiful, almost starting to rain Monday, May 19th.
Don't say rain. Don't say rain.
Don't say rain? Oh, no. You took the scooter in today, right?
I did.
Yep.
It's supposed to rain towards the end of the week, so I have to figure out what I'm going to do with that.
Yeah.
But this weekend that just went by, it was so nice out.
Yeah.
It was so good. Especially yesterday. Yesterday was gorgeous.
Mostly slept in this weekend.
No. Oh, we were out running around all weekend. But really? Yesterday was perfect. It was like 72 with a breeze. It was just...
Did you do anything physical? Go on walks?
We went to a big flea market in the morning. Londonderry. We went to Londonderry Flea.
Okay.
Wasn't as many dealers as you should be, based on like all the empty tables that were there.
Huh.
But it was nice that they had a big sign as you drive in. They have these big signs now that say, if you see anybody selling any kind of like purse in large quantities, like they're trying to crack down on all the bootleg guys that are selling fake watches and fake purses and stuff. So they now have a big sign saying this is not allowed. And if you see it, please report it to us so we can call the authorities. So that's kind of cracking down on bootlegs.
Good.
And
stop selling crap.
Exactly. And then it just felt like we were on vacation yesterday. Like there was a barn sale on the way, so we figured we'll go to the barn sale after we leave the flea market.
Barn sale?
It was somewhere in Londonderry, but we stopped at Circle K and we got like Circle K hot dogs, and it was a very vacation-y feeling day. Like, you know, we were getting
Circle K
gas station lunches and it was good. And then we stopped at the Benson's Park. I tried to recreate the route that I walked the day I lost my Fitbit because I thought maybe it fell off while we were. So we did that for a little while, but it's gone. I just need to accept that it's gone.
It's gone.
It's gone. So it was just a good weekend. It was just nice and nice. It was just nice and relaxing. Oh, we bought my cat we bought her a harness.
What? So you can take her for a walk.
We're going to try to expose her to the outside. She's an indoor cat. We bought a harness. We're going to try, probably tonight, we're probably going to try to get her in the harness. We put it on quickly, and she did one of those things where she like tried to make herself as flat to the ground as possible. What is this thing on me?
Yeah. You should have given her treats.
Well, that's what we're going to do tonight. Yeah. We're going to put it on her, and then we're going to start rewarding her for wearing it.
There you go.
And so the idea is we'd like to get her outside
so
she can see what the grass is like.
The treats thing works on me, too.
Does it?
Yeah, it does.
Is it?
Well, here's a treat. Okay.
No, it doesn't, because we invited you somewhere tomorrow night where there's things where you dip things in chocolate and you didn't want to go. And that's a pretty good reward for me.
I'm actually not into chocolate and sweets these days.
Oh, my gosh. There's cheese. They have cheese fondues, too. Dipping things in cheese, dipping things in chocolate.
I've been more interested in barbecued and roasted meats. So we didn't talk about this last time. Last week, I went with Kenta Koga. That place, what's it, Casey's Rib Shack?
In Manchester. Yes.
I think it's on 2nd Street.
Yes. We went there for Rob Penitentin's.
That's right. His birthday is this week, I think.
I missed it.
Yeah, happy birthday, Rob.
Happy birthday, Rob.
Happy birthday. So I've been on this barbecue kick since the week before. I went with Marcus Scott to check out the Riverside Barbecue on Main Street.
Which used to be
The Sausage King in Nashua.
Sausage King.
And so they've changed their whole menu to barbecue type stuff.
Uh-huh.
And so the first time I went before, I didn't really have a good meal. Marcus said we should go back and we should try. He would go there with me and slam rib for rib to see.
Do it.
And actually, it was much better the time I went last time. I was kind of curious. What's the difference? What makes it good? What makes it bad?
Yeah.
So then we went to Casey's Rib Shack with Kenta. Marcus originally was supposed to go with us, but he couldn't because of work.
Yeah.
And as a comparison, and actually that time it was okay. It wasn't blow me away. Okay.
Still not
so somewhere between. Like Riverside and Casey's Rib Shack is a, I don't know, the penultimate rib.
So how is Casey's Rib Shack?
It was compared to, I'd say that Riverside is a little bit on the moister side.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's like they take a much low heat longer approach. That's kind of how I feel about.
Okay.
You know, it verges on mushy, you know, but they're keeping it really on the low side.
Okay.
Whereas as Casey's Rib Shack, I think they cook at higher temperature for less time because you don't have that pull off the bone. It's a little bit dry.
Okay.
But they had Chinese pie up there, and I wanted to try it.
What is that?
Chinese pie is shepherd's pie, but it's called Chinese pie around here because I guess 100 years ago, Chinese railroad workers from Canada used to feed this stuff to the railroad workers, and they called it Chinese pie. And this is the only part of the country where I think they call it that. Maybe parts of Canada as well. I'm going, Chinese pie? What's that? And I look at, that's mashed potatoes. That's not Chinese.
Huh.
And mashed potatoes, that looks like shepherd's pie. Why are they calling it Chinese pie? But then my friend Scott Wright, he used to say, well, that's what we've always called it.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that meat pie?
No, it's like shepherd's pie. Have you ever had shepherd pie?
No, I don't.
Shepherd's pie is the mashed potatoes.
I'm thinking a mince pie. All right, never mind.
It's mashed potatoes layered on top of like kind of a mix of ground beef, chopped onions, and... because there's gravy on it. It's actually really good. I really like it.
Huh.
But they had it on the menu, a special, like high quality Chinese pie. And I just
high quality.
We were there for meatloaf. I mean for a barbecue. So I didn't get it, but I need to go back and try it. But you know that brings up the Rib Fest, which is coming up in June. So I actually remembered to sign up for the tasting. So they have a limited tasting on Friday on the Rib Fest, and all the ribbers, they bring you ribs to try. And that's part of my ongoing training of my palate to figure out what really makes an awesome rib. So next time I make them, then I know what I'm shooting for.
Yeah.
So that's that.
Hmm.
Mm, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, what else is going on?
What is going on? Not a whole lot on my end. We went to the New Hampshire Institute of Art preview party, which is a closed invitation only event that they do the day before graduation to unveil all the senior work, and they use it as a way to generate sales.
Yep. Sales of the artwork.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we went to that. That was from 6 to 9, and we were actually there the whole time.
Oh, really?
Wow. And we saw a lot of former kids that we went to school with that we haven't seen in a while. So we get to network a little bit and just see all the different work. There's like 105, 106 graduates this year.
Wow.
Compared to 2004 when there were six of us.
Six.
So it's grown exponentially in the time.
Yeah.
So it's kind of nice. So we get to see some work, a lot of good illustration stuff this year. Mm. I saw a couple of really, really nice illustration work that I wish I had the money to buy.
Mm. Was it expensive?
It depends on the. Well, it depended on we bought one piece that was 35, which was an illustration of, was just sort of a 8x10 illustration.
Yeah,
which was nice.
Original or?
I think it was a print, and then the one that I really like, somebody there, I didn't get her name, but she did animation. She did character study slash like. Cartoon creation.
Oh, cool.
Characters. Mm. So, like, it was like on a sheet, and on the left hand side of it was the final version of the character, and then on the right hand side was like rough sketches, you know, like just real gestural drawing. It was really nice with the character moving and turning and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Her stuff was fantastic. Like, it felt very like Brad Bird should just come right in and hire her, like, right on the spot. Like, she's got a lot of really nice lines and stuff.
That's great.
So, that was kind of cool, but she didn't have any cards.
No.
So I couldn't. Yes, I can't even remember her name. And you get cards, people. Get cards. Leave cards for people to take. So that was kind of good. So that was like Saturday night. It was a good Saturday night.
You know, illustration is one of those things that brings me a lot of joy when I see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking the other day, why didn't I pursue it? I guess I thought I sucked at it and it was frustrating, and so I never followed through it. But you know that and. Certain kinds of music composition, I really, really like that stuff. It's when I hear good stuff, it makes me really happy.
Yeah.
When I see good stuff or stuff with any kind of character or anyone who's making that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like I was looking at Jack Conte, who's this musician that's the goofier half of Pomplamoose, this online music band, I guess you can say.
Yeah.
But I was looking at his stuff, and I was thinking, like, he's doing cool electronic music stuff, and I didn't know that he did that before. and says, why don't I do cool electronic music stuff? There's something holding me back. And it's, why am I doing this programming stuff, which I kind of like?
Yeah.
You know, but when I'm done with the program, it's like, thank God that's done. that's the reaction I have. That looks like it'll save me some time. And that's not exactly like a kind of passion-driven thing. It's you know, it pays well, you know, when I get the right kind of gigs for it, but does it really pay back in terms of, you know, more energy or more, you know? So this is something I'm kind of thinking of,
yeah,
you know, these days. What is it that, you know, maybe I need to pursue some of these things before I'm too old to move my fingers?
Yes, you know? too old to begin, yeah, his training. Did you see they started filming episode 7?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Yes, new Star Wars movies being made.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, when I saw that announcement, like, in spite of my advanced age and cynicism,
you got a little excited, didn't you?
It was like it felt like it was 1983, the year before Return of the Jedi was coming out, or the next Star Wars movie coming out. I was like, it's going to come out. It's going to be good. Is it going to be bad? Is it going to be amazing? But yeah,
they posted J.J. Abrams somebody posted a picture of the note he left for the cast while they were starting to film.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, thank you for everything that you've done, including everything you're going to do. And then it was just he at the very bottom, it just, now remember, the entire world is waiting for this movie. Not to put any pressure on anybody, yeah, but the whole world.
Thanks, J.J.
is waiting.
it's kind of a good feeling. I'm trying to remember how much anticipation I had for Phantom Menace. I don't think it was as much. I mean, there was kind of a... I don't really remember.
There was...
I don't think I was as excited as I was when Empire Strikes Back, right, was going to come out. Or right.
And I think this is because, you know, the original cast is in these.
Yeah, so
we've got more of an investment. Like, the other ones, like, you know, all right, I like Ewan McGregor.
Yeah.
I mean, I went to the midnight for episode 1.
Yep.
And then we got into the thing, and I was like, who is this strange donkey guy that won't shut up the whole movie? And he's tripping, yeah, over poop. Like, what is going on? What happened, George Lucas? What have you done?
Yeah.
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 But that didn't stop me from, I think, going back and seeing it a second time.
I did see all of them.
Yep.
And the last one was like,
by the time
almost
you got,
like a movie.
Like, the second one was just, I think... I don't even know. Like, you listen to me getting depressed now.
Yeah.
Like, by the time you got to the third one, it was like, I have to go just because I'm invested in it. Like, I put but come on. Like, is it over?
Yeah. Yeah. The one part I liked from Phantom Menace was it was kind of cool to see what the Jedis were like before they got really old.
Right.
You know, so that dashing stuff, the beginning scene was kind of exciting. Like, they're battling these new droids we hadn't seen before, and like, they're running really fast. And
yes.
So the acrobatic aspect of it was pretty, yep, neat.
The first time they showed them being on the offensive rather than defensive.
Right.
Because you never saw that kind of stuff.
Yeah. You know, like you know, as much as like we like Alec Guinness.
Right. I mean, you like, got to see them being like Jedi in their prime, where they're flipping around.
Right,
and being
right.
All
Instead
cunt.
Of looking like he lost his keys.
Exactly. Instead of Luke just like hacking. He's just hacking at stuff. You know, first fight, he's hacking and he's hacking. And that's all he can do, because that's all he knows what to do. Now you actually see the grace and the movement of all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that was kind of neat. Yeah.
But, yeah, overall. And then by the time you get to the third movie, it was like,
yeah, I have the high ground. You cannot win.
You know? One thing I've always liked about the originals is when they're fighting, they're also talking. They're working through their problems. You know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's just like, but then the new ones, or the last ones, the new three.
Yeah.
They didn't do anything. They just fought. Like, they just fought and grimaced.
That's too bad.
And it's like, stop for a moment and let's communicate here. Let's talk about our issues and work through it. And this one was just like, no. And then it was just, I don't even know.
I know. When we do our movie, we need to have that kind of talking in it.
Yes.
So what will we be battling?
I don't know. I don't even know. I don't know. I'm just excited. And did you see they're also making sorry to turn this into a Star Wars conversation. Duh. They're making a new CG animated series now.
Really?
Yeah, it's called Rebels, Star Wars Rebels, and it's supposed to take place between episodes 6. So it's supposed to take place between Jedi and the new ones.
Oh,
so
okay.
That 30 years
difference. A bridge type of...
Yeah, and it's done by a lot of the same people that did Clone Wars.
Oh.
But it's all like...
Oh, wait,
it's
which Clone Wars?
The CG series.
Okay. Like I never saw that.
Season stuff. It's not... I just watched like the first four or five episodes from the first season just to see what it was about.
Yeah.
But again, it's I have so many bad feelings about the new three, the first three movies, you know, like the clones, like just the characters I didn't care about.
Yeah.
But now you're getting CG animation of like actual stormtroopers, like, you know, dudes wearing the gray naval officer, you know.
Yeah. But, yeah. So there's something about the prequel stuff that doesn't quite hang with me. I don't know if it's age.
No.
But like even in the massively multiplayer online role-playing games, like the one that's for Star Wars is Star Wars The Old Republic, which takes place, I think it actually predates Phantom Menace by, you know, something like 1,000 years or something like that. It's kind of interesting to look and say, okay, there's like the prototypical TIE fighter. You can see the angular designs. And there's the prototypical Y-Wing. You can see some of the design elements that carry through.
Yep.
You know, but I don't care about these people. It's, you know, you get to see old Coruscant, like, you know, in all its glory before it's been destroyed. And it's like, eh, it's a lot of walking.
Yeah,
exactly. That's how I felt about it. And so I ended up picking character classes. And generally in these MMORPGs, you know, you have the fast dashing kind of characters, the ones that shoot, the ones that had to walk right up to them and to hit things.
Yep.
And I just, like, there's just so much running, walking this thing. I just picked the character that you had to walk the least with.
Right. The teleporter.
So
or,
much. Yeah. Yeah. So.
Who opens up the vehicle first?
Yeah. It's, you know. So hopefully. So I'm enjoying at least the anticipation for the new Star Wars.
Yep.
And, you know, this will make or break J.J. Abrams' reputation in my mind. He's already fallen a little bit for, you know, Star Trek Into Darkness, which was kind of terrible.
Really?
I didn't like it. I mean, it was fun to see, what's his name, Benedict Cumberbatch.
Gone! I am gone.
But, you know, just never, the story just didn't go anyplace.
Right.
And it was, you know, I guess it was dark. Yeah, but for what purpose? Yeah, it didn't do that well either. It wasn't like the feel-good rom. You didn't like the first one, though, didn't you?
I've never been a big Trekkie fan, so... We went and saw. I mean, I think I've seen every. Like, I never got invested in the television series. I think you know, I watched it if it was on when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I've seen all of them. Actually, that's not true. I don't think I've actually ever seen the first one.
The first
Star Trek: The Motion Picture. I know it has the bald girl in it, but that's all I know.
Yeah, it's kind of a snore fest.
Is it? Yeah, I've seen everything up to that. Wrath of Khan was good.
Yeah, that's my favorite one.
And I don't remember the whales and whales. Going to look for Spock and all that kind of stuff. So I've never been a big Star Trek fan. So like the new movies for me were, you know, I knew the names. I didn't like the fact that they did the whole like alternate timeline thing and they were communicating with the Spock from the original. It just felt kind of silly.
That's kind of a Star Trek trope, the whole time travel thing.
Right.
And this, but that one kind of folded in on itself and it was going, it's too much.
The thing that'll be interesting is you've got J.J. Abrams and like he's already done one half of the major nerd thing, which is the Star Trek stuff.
Yep.
And it seems to be some people like it and some people think he's destroyed it. And now he's got so like I think just overall in general, like the world of nerddom, either are going to like him or really hate him.
Yeah.
Which is that's a lot of responsibility to do not only Star Trek, but then try to take Star Wars under your helm.
Yeah. Yeah, but good for him for trying.
Right.
You know, if anyone can do it that I can think of, he probably has the production expertise at this point. You know, he's made enough mistakes with various television series and movies.
Right. And I've never been a big TV thing. I liked Mission Impossible 3, which he did.
Yeah, yeah.
But I, for me, like he's in my good graces forever because of Super 8. Like I just love.
Oh yeah.
I love that movie. Yeah. I love that movie.
Yeah, so I'm cautiously optimistic that he will do.
I just, as long as we get lightsabers with lens flare, that's all I want. That's all I want.
lightsabers and lens flare.
What a perfect match that's going to look. Yeah. Like just lightsabers with lens flare everywhere and just swinging.
Yeah.
That's all I want. And it's like, I understand he has to have a story, but if we could just have 2 hours of people with lens flare and lightsabers and big battles. Like good battles and not George Lucas battles that were in the other ones.
Yeah,
come on.
I'm trying to think what examples of him in battles I guess there might be some in Mission Impossible 3, but it's been a while since I've seen it.
Yeah. I don't know.
But yeah, I used to like... I got turned on to J.J. Abrams when I was watching Alias. Because at the time, it was kind of this fresh series. You know, Jennifer Gardner was like, you know, the hotness at that time. And, you know, like the pitch was Felicity joins the CIA. And I hadn't really seen Felicity, but yeah.
Game's like sold.
So it's like, what? What is this? And then I found out that he had actually composed the music for the beginning of Alias. So J.J. Abrams, this person seems to be a multifaceted person. And then I kind of lost interest of Lost.
Yeah.
Like, It just went on and on and on and on and on. But then he reclaimed my heart with Fringe, which was like, you're so odd. Yeah, Olivia Dunham. Yeah, one of my favorite FBI agents. You know, the spiritual heir to Dana Scully.
Ah, Scully, good old Dana Scully. I met her.
You did?
I did.
Yeah. Is she like really tiny?
She's this little itty bitty tiny person. Met her at I think it was E3 in Atlanta. So this was 98.
All right.
And it was right when there was something X-Files, a game or a PC something or other, interactive something or other that had just come out. So she was there promoting it. And I had the soundtrack to the show. And on the inside liner notes, there's like a close-up picture of like a brain or something. It's just all wet and squishy.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's the image I'm going to have her autograph.
Yeah.
And she did pretty good. I mean, like it was, you know, like they were trying to rush people through. Like you couldn't really talk to her. Yeah. Like they were just like, come on, move along. And she just looked at it. She's like, what the hell is that? And then she looked at it. She's like, oh, this is from the show. And she was like, huh. And I'm like, you're really tiny. You're just this little tiny petite person.
Really?
Yeah. But she was still hot. Totally hot. She's so hot now. Like, she's gotten hotter.
Yeah.
Gillian Anderson? There's some recent pictures of her. Whoa.
Really?
She's a good-looking lady.
Yeah. Is it the red hair? Is she redhead?
I think it was dyed. She's been in stuff recently where she plays an English woman on some TV show now.
Yeah, she's been doing television shows in the UK for
long
the past
time.
10 years or something.
She's
like
a good looking lady now. She's aged really well.
Yeah.
Well, Dana Scully. Sorry.
I don't think you're supposed to be talking about stuff like this.
Sorry, Dana Scully. Scully!
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, I have a soft spot for FBI agents.
Yeah.
Long haired FBI agents. I don't know. It's a thing.
Awesome.
What were we talking about? Oh, art.
Yeah.
Sorry. Let's see.
We went to the show and we saw a bunch of stuff. Somebody I met the other day at the Londonderry Flea Market, we've actually seen this guy's work. There's an antique store in Amherst on Amherst 101A.
Oh, yeah.
He had a little display there, and he's really neat. He takes I had his card, and I don't know what I did with it, but it doesn't have his name or anything, and he's got an AOL address, so
he's unreachable.
Ron's diecast. So he takes diecast collector's cars, like 1/10 scale things, and then he makes them look like they're like old and rusty and falling apart and have holes in them. And so he uses paint to make them look old and rusty, and he takes the doors off. And
that's cool.
So he had a bunch of them there and stuff. I was like, do you do NASCAR? Cause New Hampshire and NASCAR.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, I don't do NASCAR. Cause people actually don't, either they don't care about it, or I think he said they get mad when they see their favorite NASCARs all destroyed.
Yeah.
Calm down, people.
Yeah.
But one of the cool things that he said that he wanted to start doing was old spaceships and robots stuff.
Yeah.
And which immediately, like, I have a swordfish up there from Cowboy Bebop that I was like, I wonder what he would do with that.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of neat. Like, he actually has this little heat element where he puts it in the plastic and he creates like rust holes in the actual.
Oh, neat.
Yeah. And then he has all these different paint colors that makes it look rusty. And it's really impressive. And then he had a couple of little dioramas that he made, like one out in the woods, and he had all these little model sets of trees and stuff. And he did another one that looked like it was being pulled out of a body of water, like it had been underwater. It was all rusty.
Oh, wow.
So he does really nice stuff. So he gave me his card and stuff, but it's like he doesn't have a website. So
that's too bad.
Yeah. He has an eBay. Well, I told him I do a lot of stuff with product and toy photography and stuff, and he's like, well, I already have a camera.
Okay. Where's the pictures?
Right, but maybe I'll try to toss up. It says he has an eBay page, so maybe I'll toss one up and see if he's got anything on his eBay page. But really, really neat stuff, and he just likes to do it. He just likes the old rusty stuff. He's like, a lot of people that own the real cars will buy these because, you know, the real cars are so meticulously clean and maintained for showroom stuff. He's like, they'll buy the old rusty versions in fake versions so that at least they can see what it would look like if they let it go to hell.
Yep.
But yeah, so he's kind of neat.
That's neat.
Yeah.
Oh, I came across this mention of this custom shoe shop in, I think it's Deerfield, New Hampshire.
What?
Yeah, I was on. I saw a post from Courtney Hoppy.
Yes,
and she has been she was modeling these shoes for this place called Cordwainer Custom Shoes.
Huh.
And let me see if I can pull up their website.
Wainer.
Cordwainer. But yeah, if you go to cordwainershop.com, put in the show notes. But they make custom footwear. It's like their shoes are like $800 or $900.
Huh.
But they have apprenticeships and they have workshops so you can make your own shoes.
Really?
That's pricey. It's like $1,800 to make your learn how to make your own shoes. But they also make bags. And I just want to go to see this place.
Huh.
So it's in Deerfield, New Hampshire, wherever that is.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks like some artisans that are making cool stuff.
Huh.
And I wanted to see what their shop looked like. So we might have to make a field trip.
Yeah.
Let's see what that's up to.
At the shoe place.
Yeah.
Shoes.
You know. Shoes. I mean, I suspect that learning how to make shoes might open up other things, like learning to make cool bags out of leather or like figuring out what the tools are. And so this might be something I want to do in, I don't know, a couple years or something like that. There's so much stuff that I want to do.
Yes.
It's kind of actually blocked me up this past week. There's like so many things that have piled up.
Huh.
Just hard to... You know, to clear them out. Do I realize I could clear them out one at a time?
One at a time.
And then says, all right, I'm not going to stress out about everything at once. I can stress about one thing at a time. So unblocking that's kind of been my emphasis in the past week.
Yep.
Yeah.
10, 6, 8. Well,
lots of things I want to do.
Yeah. Very nice.
Too many things to contemplate. Need to get the scooter back together.
Would you hurry up and get the scooter, please?
Need to get the living room cafe project going. Mm-hmm. I did go get pricing. I need to get it measured out. But it looks like it's going to be about $10 a square foot.
Okay.
Material plus installation fee if I go with this flooring place.
Okay. Installation separate from the
cost? No, it's included.
Oh, it is?
So it's like the cost per square foot is between $5 and $7 a square foot, depending on how wide the planks are.
Okay.
The wider planks are more expensive.
Yep.
But then installation is around $2 to $2.50 per square foot.
Yep.
And it's comparable to what Home Depot is offering.
Huh.
So I figure it's probably all right. The alternative is just to learn to install it myself. And yeah. That might just take 6 weeks if I did that. So even though I would be able to buy that, I could justify buying that super fancy track saw from Festool, which is amazing. But that money should probably just go to professional installers just so the thing is done.
Give it to the pros.
Yeah. I mean, they're not charging anything more than I probably would charge for an equivalent website or piece of coding.
Exactly.
So, pump the money into the local economy.
Give it to them. Us. Yeah. Give it to us. Yeah. All of us. Give it to us.
Yeah. I guess we're getting close to the end. What else is going on?
Nothing. I had a good headshot session, actually two this morning.
Great. Awesome.
For the wonderful ladies that run Great American Downtown here in Nashua.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah.
Was Rebecca Dixon?
Dixon and Allie Manning.
Cool.
And yes. And Allie's good. Allie's from Britain, so she's got a great British accent.
Oh,
so,
nice.
Anytime I can get somebody with a British accent in the studio, just talk. Just talk away. Go for it. So that was pretty good.
Yeah.
But all right, music's getting louder, so we should probably wrap it up.
No, we got about 30 seconds.
Oh, we do. All right.
You should get to know the soundtrack. This is Michael Ballard, the As Is Ensemble, of course, who
at michaelballard.com.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, so now this is right after this. This is the final stretch. So let's count.
Well, when the 1, clapping 000, starts,
2,000.
But yeah, you need to tell Dave to get his 4, scooter 000, together so he can 5, 000, actually take it out and go 6, for rides.
7,000. 8,000, 9,000,
10. Oh, there
so
it 10 is.
Seconds.
10 seconds. 10 after
seconds
the clapping.
After that.
All right. All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this week. Until next week, I am photographer Sid Caesar.
I'm designer Dave Say.
And we will see you later. Get out and enjoy the weather. Ride your scooter. put your scooter back together if you're Dave.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see you guys later.